The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Valentine's Day, you know just what to get that special someone because you know what makes them tick. Their favorite bouquet of roses and a box of roses and a scented teddy bear. Yeah, a teddy bear. So, head on over to ProFlowers.com to get fresh this Valentine's Day and get 15% off gifts for your special someone with promo code CRUSH15. That's CRUSH15 at ProFlowers.com for 15% off through February 14th on flowers, gifts, and more for Valentine's Day. See website for details.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel, whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport. There is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Hi, everybody, and welcome in. We're going to have a great guest in 10 minutes, Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, who fired his coach and let go of his quarterback 1 year after drafting and hiring both, made a quick pivot, and he's turned the Arizona Cardinals around. I love guys like that. You know, I got about 10 minutes here on John Gruden. So I worked briefly with John Gruden at ESPN. He reminds me a lot of Bobby Knight, who also worked at ESPN. So let me tell you a story about Bobby Knight and Gruden, who, as they lost their power, increasingly lashed out at others. So Bobby Knight worked at ESPN for years, was legendarily difficult. He would only work and surround himself with people who kissed the ring, because he could retain his power that way. You had to revere him, treat him with a certain level of respect. Bobby would only work with people who bowed down to Bobby to make him feel powerful. And as Bobby Knight started losing power and losing games and losing esteem later in his career, he was a really insecure guy who could no longer bully people. People didn't take him seriously. People mocked him. And he wasn't a winning basketball coach at the end. And it's very difficult when you've had power and you start to lose it. And sometimes men or people get desperate trying to retain it. So Bobby Knight, one time, they scheduled him for my radio show, The Herd, at ESPN Radio. And I said, fine. They said, there are certain questions you can't ask him. And I said, no, I'll ask him whatever I want to ask him. Bobby's not going to control the interview. The show's called The Herd, not the guest. I'll control the interview. Bobby wouldn't do it. So he went on Mike and Mike, a show that was more than willing, or certainly more willing, to allow Bobby certain liberties. I wouldn't do it. With Gruden, I had him on one or two times, but there were similarities with Gruden. When I go back and look at Gruden's career, like Bobby, is that Gruden only worked with a finite number of people at ESPN, a certain executive who would kiss the ring, a handful of producers or coworkers who would kiss the ring. And so, like Bobby Knight, as Gruden became a losing football coach in the NFL and moved further and further away from the Super Bowl, he started lashing out his people who didn't adore him or he viewed as a threat. I'll give you an example. So in these emails, he's ripping Roger Goodell. Well, Gruden was at his height in Oakland from 98 to 2001. He was boy genius. And then in Tampa from 2002 to about 2004 and 5. At the end, remember, he stayed until 2008, but he was losing at the end. So when Roger Goodell became commissioner in 2006, boy wonder was boy blunder. And Goodell didn't take kindly to old school losing coach Gruden on TV, often ridiculing him behind his back. John had a history, was pretty well known. This I can verify, kind of bad mouthing people who he saw as threats or in the way behind their back. He did that at ESPN. And then you go to Demoris Smith, who is negotiating 2011. And John Gruden is now, you know, he's lost games. He's been fired. He's just a TV guy. And Demoris Smith, educated, Virginia law, worked under Eric Holder, attorney general. John saw him as a threat because Demoris Smith wanted a less violent game to protect the players. And again, you're usurping power from John Gruden. This is where Bobby Knight and John Gruden are very similar. They're powerful. They're adored and beloved. As they start losing and lose that power, they lash out to people who are a threat and people that are not going to allow the NFL to run the way John sees it fit are a threat. And this is why Gruden struggles to adapt. And it kind of fascinates me. What I saw with those emails is a terribly insecure guy. And if you go look at the timeline of when a lot of these angry emails surfaced and who they're directed at, they are directed at people that are not willing to give John a pass, don't believe in his narrative, aren't going to elevate his power base. The NFL's gotten, by the way, much more analytical. John's much more rah-rah. There's a way to play the game. The world is requiring John and guys like Bobby Knight to be more tolerant, to be more thoughtful. If you look at Gruden's career and you look at Bobby Knight's career, it's largely the same. They're big, maybe in the 80s, right? It's the 90s, and the world changes and they start losing and people don't open doors for them and people don't shudder in fear and they lash out at those people. So, you know, John's approach to football, and let's be honest, he was losing at the end in Tampa, and he was losing in Oakland / Vegas. John's style is outdated. When you think of great offensive minds, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Gruden's not considered in that class, and he doesn't like it. And I've always been sort of fascinated. You know, I should have a psychologist on. People in power lose it, and how do they react? And to me, Gruden and Bobby Knight, a lot of similar tendencies. Bullies. And once they lose power, the only way to retain it is harshly criticize those who challenge it. And just look at who Gruden took shots at. In fact, in a weird set of circumstances, total coincidence, I dated a woman years and years ago, 25 years ago. Her current husband worked for the Raiders briefly. And I was talking to her about 3 years ago. She had texted, and we were just going back and forth. Really good person. And I said, hey, how's your husband doing with the Raiders? She said, oh, a year after Gruden took the job, he got out of there. It was so toxic. It was so alpha, so ridiculous. And her husband's, you know, a little more analytical, a little smarter person. And that was my first glimpse that it was kind of going sideways in Las Vegas / Oakland, but almost always ends poorly for people that can't adapt. The NFL's ability to evolve is actually one of its greatest qualities. There's a certain group of men who hate change. Years ago, when they made the penalties for overly violent plays more punitive, a lot of people pushed back. And the NFL would not listen. The NFL has been able to, over the course of 30 years, increase its fan base to 187 million Americans, according to research, and 43% of those are women. The game is safer, more forward-thinking, more inclusive, more analytical. Ratings are up. Revenue is up. The game has frankly evolved past John Gruden, and now he is literally out of the league. And I think all of us acknowledge today, look at Gruden's record. Last 3 years in Tampa, first 3 years and five games in Oakland and Vegas. He hasn't adapted. It's pretty obvious. So how's he retain his power? I've said this recently on the show that I've always appreciated men specifically, because I think women can do this more easily, is admit they're wrong. And Steve Keim has been the GM for 7 years, 8 years now in Arizona. He's been a scout personnel since 99. And scouts take great pride in getting it right. But Steve did something that's you just do not see in the NFL. I can't recall anything like it. He hired a coach and drafted a quarterback. And a year later said, all right, that shit ain't working. I'm going to go in a different direction. And Steve joins us. First of all, it's incredibly rare. It is a quality I admire and few have. So you had to make a decision and say, hey, this isn't working. Do you remember, let's talk first about the coaching situation. Really good guy, but it didn't work and you go get Cliff Kingsbury. Was there a moment on the coaching situation before we get to Kyler? A drive home, a practice, a game, when you said, this young coach I hired, I just don't think it's going to work.
That's a great question, and I don't know that it was one specific point, Colin. I think it was just through the experience of the time that we had spent together, and you know, in consultation with Michael Bidwell, our owner, he and I had to take a long, hard look at it. And probably what was the most difficult part was taking a hard look at the job that I had done. And the first 5 years of my career as an NFL GM, we won over 50 games. We had a lot of success with Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer. And quite frankly, we stunk it up. And that is a really difficult pill to swallow. And the only way you can grow as a person or as a leader is to self-evaluate. And it's humbling. And that's what I had to do. We had to get our draft picks right, and we had to make a change at the top with our coach. And feel like we got it right, but it was a huge risk to take.
And then you bring in Cliff Kingsbury. Did it concern you? Because he's gotten better every year. In fact, my criticism in years one and two was the team was a little inconsistent half to half. And I thought, well, that could be Kyler Murray. He's a kid quarterback. But I find the team not just winning. It's not just winning, but the team is more consistent in terms of penalties, in terms of protection. The organization feels more consistent this year. Early on, first year, maybe first 20 games, did you have discussions with him? Cliff, half to half, series to series, game to game. I mean, take me through the evolution of his growth.
Yeah, and I think that's another great observation because, again, you know, Cliff coming into the business and learning the NFL game, no doubt that he's a humble guy and can look in the mirror and say, hey, I got to improve in these certain areas. But I think even a larger picture, Colin, is when you look at the way your team's built up, the makeup of your team. And I felt like this offseason, the one thing that we had to address is emotional maturity.
Yes.
And when I say emotional maturity, I mean people who can handle success, people who can handle adversity, because both are going to hit you at different times, whether it's games, weeks, months. And that is the area that I feel like we've grown the most because we've added veterans. We've added draft picks of guys who are emotionally mature, who can handle the tough times, who can handle adversity. And that's really, I think, where as a whole, this organization has grown because of the type of people we brought in.
So now let's pivot to Kyler Murray. He was obviously exhilarating early, but you had to make a decision with your scouting background since 99 in Arizona. obviously he jumps off the tape a better athlete than Josh Rosen, but you had to bail on Josh. Was there a conversation or a moment or a piece of tape where you just went, I can't pass up on this. This is somebody, I'm going to regret this if I don't make a move on Kyler Murray.
Yes. And it was, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my office and I was watching him for the first time. And the first game I started with was Alabama. And if you went back and you watched the Oklahoma-Alabama game, you saw he actually struggled in the first half. They got after him. They rushed him. They didn't protect very well. Had to use his wheels a lot and struggled. Second half completely lit him up. And there was one play in particular where it was almost like a shortstop making a great throw to the first base after getting a ground ball. I'll never forget, he jumped up off of 1 foot and launched the ball about 55 yards with a strike in the end zone as for a touchdown. And maybe in my NFL career as a scout at that time, 22 years, I had never seen anything like it. You know, I never saw a guy that could run full speed and launch the ball off 1 foot and throw it with that kind of zip and juice and ball placement. I saw Pat Mahomes do some pretty rare and unusual things. But the way Kyler Murray did it, even though he was 5'10", to me just was special. And I think it's exactly what you said. Even regardless with Josh Rosen, I mean, I think the guy had potential. We took him with the 10th pick overall. And kind of like when you sit and you think to yourself, really, the big picture. If you were drafting in the NBA and you had Clyde Drexler, but you had a chance to draft Michael Jordan, would you do it? Yes. I mean, that player, Kyler Murray, to me, I thought was a generational talent, and I thought was the kind of guy that could propel this organization in the right direction the fastest.
Steve, Elway had a baseball background, Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. You know, Urban Meyer in college said he loved defensive linemen who had played basketball or track, multi-sport guys, athletes, not just big weightlifter football guys. The baseball thing, I always say that Russell and Kyler slide like baseball players. Lamar doesn't. Aaron Rodgers doesn't. They slide like football players. Was that any part of it? Did you look at Russell, who's a pretty good comp for him, and go, man, there's just some things here? Because my takeaway was, man, Kyler's small. I don't know if this is going to work. Was the Russell Wilson comp a real thing for you?
100%. Yeah. And I think the Russell comp gave you the confidence that this guy could do it at this level, because that's what we do in this business. It's all comps. So the fact that there was never, you know, for Russell, I'll never forget John Schneider saying this. You know, John said, what's wrong with him other than he's 5'10"? He's got big hands. He's got great feet. He can escape. He can throw on the move. He can throw from the pocket. He has great accuracy and touch, and he has good vision. Again, all the things you want in a great quarterback, other than the fact he's 5'10". He had compensating abilities. And that's the same thing with Kyler. The fact that he's not 6'4" or 6'5", he has compensating traits that you get excited about: the feet, the explosiveness, the arm strength, and their ability to get the ball out of their hands quickly. With that baseball analogy, you know, you see those guys, it's almost like turning a double play when sometimes they'll catch the snap and they're so quick with their release and their footwork. It's like a shortstop or a second baseman turning too. You know, when you see that guy flip his hips and get the ball out when they throw those screens, it's amazing. And not many guys can do that.
Are you ready to amp up the excitement every college football Saturday this year? All right, it's called Colin Cowherd's Saturday Spreads. It's on FanDuel. Free shot at big prices. Really simple. I choose 10 of college football's biggest matchups each week. Make your picks against the spread for each one. And the fans who get the most right win $5,000 in prizes every damn week. All right, my picks this week: Texas -5 hosting Oklahoma State. The Cowboys defense is pretty good this year, but I think Texas comes out of that loss feeling really good about who they are. They controlled large portions of that game late against Oklahoma. I'll take the Longhorns to win and cover. I like Carolina at home -6.5 over Miami. Carolina, the slightly better football team with better momentum. And I'll take Alabama to bounce back, even on the road, after their loss to the Aggies, beat Mississippi State by over 17.5. All right, those will be 3 of the 10 picks. Go to FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. Or you can just download the FanDuel app. Check in $5,000 every week in prizes. No purchase necessary. Age restrictions apply depending on location. Void where prohibited. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. C-O-L-A-N, so they know I sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, or West Virginia.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform I love to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Synchronize online and in-person sales and effortlessly stay informed. I love Shopify. Have for years the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify is more than a store. Connect with your customers. Drive sales. Manage your day-to-day. Reach customers online with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest, and more. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/Colin, all lowercase. Shopify.com/Colin for a free 14-day trial, full access at Shopify's entire suite of features. Shopify.com/Colin.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You know, your background, you played, and I believe Jimmy Johnson took over for the Dolphins, and you were playing back then, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so obviously, very few players become, some become scouts, almost none become GMs. And, you know, everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. Belichick's obviously the great academic, the situational brilliance, has sort of struggled with skill people fitting into his system. Jimmy, when you, if I said Jimmy Johnson to you, Steve Keim, what jumped out to you? Take people back that don't know Jimmy. I do, you do, college and pro. What did you learn from Jimmy? What did you see in Jimmy? You've probably reached out to Jimmy more than once in your life. Go back to Jimmy and how he helped it all. Maybe even not verbally, just things you noticed in the way he ran things in Miami.
Well, I'll say this, and it was just a short period of time because it was about 6 months and I got hurt. But he, I think the way Jimmy was and the way the Dolphins were at that time, it was his first year. So to be able to change the culture the way he did, you know, and the way he did in Dallas, the way he ran an NFL program, a little more like a college program, you know, with the way they run players, whether you're a veteran or a young guy, you worked hard regardless. You know, you didn't have days off and those sort of things. Jimmy made the guys work, and I'll never forget, you know, Dan Marino. I'm sure he was used to a certain style with Don Shula. When Jimmy came in, it became different, and Dan had to work, you know, like everybody else. Yeah. But the funny thing is I saw Jimmy when we played in the NFC Championship, I believe it was 2015. And Jay Glazer and Howie Long were making fun of me because Jimmy said hello to me and he didn't remember cutting me. And I said, man, I was such a memorable player that you didn't remember cutting me. But I also told him that the great advice that he gave me was I realized as a GM that I never want to sign guys like Steve Keim, those short, stubby armed, you know, overachievers. We don't want them.
I'll throw this kind of theory at you. So it's been pretty bumpy for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was a wildly successful college coach. It hasn't been terribly bumpy for Cliff Kingsbury. I'll just throw this at. Cliff comes to you in a more humble place. He wasn't as rich. He wasn't as powerful. And that my guess, it's much harder for Urban to be a great listener because he's mostly been directing traffic. When Cliff comes to you having been fired from his alma mater, many people, myself included, said, wow, this is a gamble. So he psychologically has got to be more willing. He needs help. He needs Steve. He needs his scouts. Take me through what Cliff has been like, because you know, now that Kyler has exploded, nobody wants to talk about the coach.
Right.
But so much of this league is getting a coach that works with his young player. Take me through kind of Cliff, what you've seen, how he's grown as a coach.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point is number one, you have to identify what are your strengths and your weaknesses. And I'm not saying that Cliff has weaknesses, but there are things that he knows that he's good at. And that's calling plays. And that's being a head coach of a football team, not so much saying, I want to micromanage and run personnel. I want to run all of our decisions in the draft, the free agency process. The two GM and the head coach have to share a vision and you have to be on the same page and you have to have that mutual respect. And Cliff is humble enough to be able to say, I don't need to be the GM. I don't need to make the picks. I'll stay in my lane. And when everybody stays in their lane, to me, it's when you have organizational success. It's when those lines get blurred, to me, is when people have issues. When a coach wants to be the GM or vice versa, we all have to have that mutual respect and understanding. And I have to have the vision of what the coaches want. My job as a GM, to me, is not to say, hey, these are my picks. No, I want to do the job where I am supplying the coaches with the necessary tools that they have to have to have success.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I covered the Portland Trailblazers, and the general manager was Bob Whitsitt. And he said, you know, be careful, Colin, about labeling players. He goes, you know, some of these guys coming out now, they can play point, they can play the four. LeBron's, of course, the greatest example. And a couple of years ago, you took a draft pick out of Clemson. He was a playmaker, much a little bit like Honey Badger, but I think a stronger player, Simmons, and Isaiah Simmons. And my takeaway was, it's going to take them a while to figure out what he is, but he is something. And you take me back to that pick, your thought process, how it's developed, and perhaps maybe that's not a guy that 8 years ago that works. But in today's NFL, it kind of works. Take me there with him.
It's about matchups, finding their ability to create mismatches, whether it's in the passing game, whether it's running the football. And to me, the more players that you can find that are hybrids or, so to speak, versatile, I've always felt like you have different layers of defense. You have the defensive front, the middle section, which is your backers, and then the back end. And the more players to me that have versatility on all levels, I like guys that can play inside or outside up front. Love to be able to have guys at the second level. They all have to be able to cover. The day and age of the two down Mike linebacker doesn't exist anymore because people are too smart and they can find them. They'll spread you out and you become an un-Mike linebacker. You become a Will. And, same thing with the secondary. To have safeties that can cover, that can invert and play in the slot and can play over receivers. The real hard part nowadays that you're coming to see is I think there's a big discrepancy in the talent at wide receiver versus the amount of secondary players that are talented. When you start getting third and fourth receivers like we have matched up on third and fourth corners, it is a major mismatch.
Yes.
And that's why you're seeing so many explosive plays, in my opinion, and you're seeing so much yardage, particularly yardage in the middle of the field when you're seeing inside guys and corners that are nickels predominantly facing guys like Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore.
Well, that I saw the other day, Carolina went and got C.J. Henderson. They drafted J.C. Horn. Then they went out and got they traded for another corner. And my takeaway was, yeah, because they're in a division with Brady.
Yeah.
And Brady's not going anywhere. And you got to have a legit third corner. You know, this brings up something, Steve. I noticed this years ago. So I like recruiting. I've been following high school recruiting. I'm a dork forever. And I noticed this about 8 years ago in California. There were no running backs left. The whole damn state had two. And there'd be 60 four- and five-star receivers. And young people generally set cultures, fashion, music, sports. Well, young people know running backs don't get a second contract. I won't be quarterback. I won't be wide receiver. State of California's got two good running backs a year. So to your point, you're taking these Drake London at USC right now as a prime example. That guy's like, hey, man, I'm going to play basketball and make money or I'm going wide out.
Right.
And it's really fascinating. And I think about this, Steve, all the time, is that does it change the way you think? Like, for instance, it's very difficult in the NFL now, Steve. If you have a good quarterback, like Kyler, you're going to have a good offense for a decade,
right,
as long as you can protect him reasonably. Defenses don't last. Rams are number one? Oh, they're not. You look at there's teams in this league. it is almost impossible, even for 2 to 3 years straight, to have a dominating defense. Because if you do have a good corner, if you're paying your quarterback, people will overpay for a good corner. Do you find it harder now? I think it's a reality. It is hard to retain a great defense. Do you sense this? Do you feel this?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I used to think at one time the hardest positions to find were quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher. Left tackle and pass rusher, you could go back and forth, in my opinion. But now it's, to me, corner is one of the hardest. Supply and demand is so tough at that position. And every team in the NFL that we're playing against, everybody's looking for them. You know, we're all looking, and the ready list, when you look at that, the guys that you have to sign to try to fill in for injuries and those sort of things, it's become really, really difficult for us. And the funny thing is a lot of people that worried about our team, particularly locally here, they worried about our corner play. And I'm thinking to myself, we got in week 3, 4, 5, and now I'm looking at the teams that we're playing, and their corners are the same as all of them around the league. Everybody's struggling at corner. And, unless you're Jalen Ramsey, I mean, everybody's got some real issues.
Yeah. Denver, Patrick Surtain's been a hit for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a nice hit. Mm-hmm. Kyle Fuller, but no, they struggle. They can't score points. When you're clearly a guy that, pivoting for you is not difficult. And I always had this theory. People have asked me over my career, oh gosh, you've been on the air for 30 years. How have you lasted? And I always say, fear. I have to pivot or I'm out of work. I got to find whatever platform's growing. I'm loyal to platforms, right? For you, you have a great job. There's no school to go to be a GM.
No.
Sometimes you lose a GM job. You never get another one.
Right.
I found early in my career, I think I'm more joyful now, but early in my career, there was this kind of fear like, man, they're after me. In your day-to-day life where you're criticized for a draft pick, is it stressful? Do you sense the stress of it? How do you kind of compartmentalize that and have a joyful life as you deal with every draft pick, every Sunday, wildly scrutinized, job on the line?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't sleep at night. I mean, it's truly, now don't get me wrong. And the thing that's funny that you say fear, I mean, I'm not kidding you, whether I've won executive of the year and I still wake up in the morning thinking I'm going to get fired. And I think it's probably the roots and where I came from. My dad worked for the same company for 42 years as a machinist, you know, humbling beginnings and that sort of thing. And, it's just the way I'm wired. It's the way I was wired as a player. And, that part is maybe the mental game that I play with myself that gives me the edge, because I always think that I have to prove somebody wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult, particularly, and I said this about a week ago, if you want to win a popularity contest, don't become an NFL general manager, because whether it's the players, the coaches, somebody, you're going to make people unhappy. And you can't do things to make people like you. You have to make really tough decisions, which are unfortunate. Guys that contracts are expiring or trading players. At some point in time, people feel like they're going to be misled. They're going to feel like you did them wrong. And you have to have tunnel vision, block out the noise, and feel like you're always doing what's right for the organization. Long-term health and short-term health.
There, I feel there's more stability with Arizona. 10 years ago, I didn't necessarily think that. But it seems like you have a good relationship with the younger Bidwell son. I've only met him once. But take me to your relationship with your owner.
Yeah, he's great. And I think the one thing that's great about him, maybe more than anything, is he is he's in here every day. So he's not out on a yacht. He's not out, just having fun. He's in here working with all of us are. So his blue collar mentality, roll up your sleeves. He's not a flashy guy. And he loves the game. And most of all, he loves this organization. So the two coolest things are, number one, I started at the lowest level and worked my way to the top, which I think it's myself and Brian Gutekunst are the only GMs in the NFL that worked as area scouts.
Wow.
With their respective teams and work to become GMs. And same thing with Michael. Michael was a ball boy at one time. You know, he makes jokes about picking up jock straps in the locker room, you know, and now he's the president and owner of the team. And again, he's committed to doing the right things and he's passionate about the Arizona Cardinals for the right reasons.
Steve, you're in arguably the toughest division in sports. When you draft, how much do you think about other teams? Or is it mostly self-identification? Here's what we are. Here's what we're not. I remember years ago, Bill Polian said, when we got Peyton Manning, we knew we'd have the lead a lot. So we drafted pass rushers. We knew you'd be chasing us in the fourth quarter. Kyler Murray presents a little bit of that. You're going to score a lot of points. Do you think going forward it will affect your vision and how you draft?
Yeah, and it's already taken place. I mean, we've already started to sort of formulate our plan around Kyler, drafting Kyler, acquiring Rodney Hudson this offseason. I wanted to strengthen in the middle where you have a guy who, an older veteran who's done it, been there, done it, and can help identify defenses and help Kyler from a mental standpoint early on in the process. And then now all of a sudden you look at the perimeter talent we have to go along with Kyler and then getting the lead and then also having guys who can rush the passer, guys like Chandler Jones, JJ Watt. You mentioned Isaiah Simmons. You don't want to get into a situation where you're turning down good football players, but there is something to be said about how you build your roster and how are you going to play your opponents, which, again, you know when you're going to get Russell every year. And there's a lot of stability around the league with some of those guys. And now Matthew Stafford, there's a certain way you have to play those teams.
You know, when you made that deal for Chandler Jones, you know, Belichick is this iconic guy. He'd burned a lot of people. He'd made a lot of good trades. Whereas their apprehension, like, looking behind closed doors, okay, I'm going up against the wizard because he's been a huge hit for you. You have won that trade. That is not disputable. And for a couple of years, they couldn't generate the kind of pass rush.
Right.
That was one of the few where you look back a couple of years later and go, wow, New England misses that player and Arizona stole that player. Do you remember where you were when you made that deal and what was going through your mind?
I do, because I remember calling him and asking him if you know, again, sometimes you just have to spitball because you think to yourself when you're watching the tape, there's no chance they're going to trade this guy because of how much you like the player, the talent, the position that he plays, how hard they are to find. So, hey, why not throw it out there? I mean, all they can say is no, right? So right. You say, hey, Bill, would you consider moving on from Chandler Jones? And I'll never forget, you know, with Bill's reaction, maybe, you know, I'll think about it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, really? You know, no different than DeAndre Hopkins or at the time Carson Palmer when I talked to the Raiders. You know, I liked what I saw in Carson, even though they weren't winning a lot of games. He threw for over 4,000 yards that year.
Yeah.
And thought, put him in Bruce Arians' offense, vertical stretch in the field. Yeah, it's a good fit. And sure enough, it was. So when you're making those trades, again, with guys like him and D-Hop and Chandler, you know, guys that you think are really good football players, you always wonder, what do they know that we don't? That's why I always talk about free agency the way I do. In general, I truly view it as fool's gold because number one, why are they on the market? Two, we don't have intimate knowledge of that player unless we have a coach that coached him at that team. So is that team ready and willing to move on from him? And we're putting this type of contract in front of him with this type of guaranteed money. It's scary.
That DeAndre Hopkins, that day you signed him, did you drive home thinking, holy shit, well, we got a guy?
It was terrifying because we agreed to the deal, Bill O'Brien and myself, and the pandemic hit. So a trade is not consummated until you have each player pass the physical. So Johnson and D-Hop had to pass physicals. We couldn't travel because of the pandemic. So we had to sit around on pins and needles. Number one, holding the secret that we have DeAndre Hopkins coming. And then two, the fact that it's not done until there's a physical. So you're always, you know, praying that this guy is going to pass the physical. And thank goodness they both did and it all worked out. But for about a month or maybe even 2 months, I had to sit on that with nobody knowing, no reports. And truly, there were days where I remember waking up and I remember calling Michael Bidwell and said, we're really getting DeAndre Hopkins, aren't we? You know, like, really? Like, is this really real or am I dreaming? I mean, the pandemic was screwy enough. You know, you already had stuff going on in your mind. You were playing games with yourself. So it was pretty difficult.
I find you to be an incredibly easy guy to root for. We have a personal, Eric Tannenbaum's a buddy of mine.
Absolutely. Great man.
Great friend of yours. Yep. He just thinks the world of you. And if anybody that likes Eric, I love. So, Steve, I appreciate this. I love when you can educate my audience and share stories. And this has been as much fun in 30 minutes as I can have. I mean, let's talk again, please.
Absolutely. Thanks, Colin.
All right. That was fun. That shit was fun right there. I'm not going to lie. That was fun. You don't get to do that on TV or radio. 30 minutes of Steve Keim stories. Can you imagine having a secret on DeAndre Hopkins for 30 minutes? I couldn't keep it. I couldn't do it. I would just, at some point, my mouth would open and words would come out and it would end up in the paper. At The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe, YouTube channel too. Talk soon.
The Volume.
The story of the rose is a story of love. Whether it's a date night with your sweetheart, a Galentine's Day with friends, or showing yourself a little extra love, use code CRUSH15 at FTD.com through February 14th and save 15% on florist-crafted bouquets, plants, and specialty gifts. See website for details. FTD. Give it meaning.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.